Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the Old Testament reading from Malachi chapter 3. Malachi prophesied roughly 400 years before Jesus was ever born, and he proclaimed that the Savior would come, the Messiah would come, but he also proclaimed that a messenger would come to prepare the way for the Lord. And of course, we heard about that in our gospel reading, John the Baptist, who was out in the wilderness purifying people through a baptism of repentance. We think about that purification, and like Mr. Denning was just telling the kids, how difficult the process of purification can be, and yet we give thanks to God today that Jesus Christ has done everything necessary to make us pure. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this week it's been kind of hitting me how quickly time seems to be flying by lately. At least for me personally and for our family, I feel like we are in that stage of life right now where it just seems like everything is moving at 100 miles an hour and it never stops. And you know, you just kind of look up at the calendar every once in a while and you wake up and you realize it's already December 9th and where did the whole last year even go? I heard somebody say once that when you're raising small children, even though it feels like the days are long, the years are short. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. It's been on my mind this week, especially as I was getting ready for this sermon. I sat down and I put the date for today, this morning, at the top of the page. It's right here. I put December 9th, 2018, and I realized that this week, in 2 days, on Tuesday, is already the second anniversary of me becoming your pastor here in Hoyleton. I was installed on December 11th in 2016. So it's just amazing to me how quickly time goes by and how many things have happened in the last 2 years here in Hoyleton, how God continues to bless us all day in and day out with his work among us. It's just absolutely amazing. If my calculations are right, over these last 2 years in Hoyleton, my wife and I have given our children approximately somewhere between 400 and 500 baths between the two of them, give or take, right? But and you have to account for the first 4 months we lived here in Hoyleton and Zach wasn't in our family yet. But seriously, I'm pretty sure it's between 400 and 500 bath nights. And so I think about that. Now, bath night is not always an easy night in our house, okay? So this is like 400 to 500 difficult parent moments over the course of the last 2 years. And we have this bottle of baby shampoo in the bathroom. And on the bottle, it says, no tears. And it lies, okay? There have been many tears shed in the Parsonage bathtub, and not many lately by our daughter. These days, in recent days, it's been mainly by our son. And it's kind of interesting because he was okay with baths for a long time, but just kind of recently it's become one of those things he doesn't really enjoy very much. He cries when I scrub him up. He cries when I tell him he can't do the faucet. He can't turn the faucet on and off a million times during bath time. He definitely cries when I pour water over his head. And this is the same kid who I just preached about this a couple months ago where, I mean, he like absolutely knows no fear right now, no danger. He'll like jump off the couch in the living room and land on his bottom and just kind of laugh about it and just do it again. Like, but for some reason right now, bath water is his arch nemesis. Like it's his kryptonite right now. And so anyway, you know, there's these really difficult moments in the bathtub where I'm like, you know, almost wrestling him, right? And he's strong and he's fast and he's slippery. It's like trying to catch a greased pig, right? And of course he doesn't understand this yet, but if he would just cooperate, things would go a lot faster, right? This whole process that he doesn't really enjoy would go a lot easier and smoother and faster if he would just cooperate. Maybe one day he'll figure that out. We'll see. But all of this is related to our theme for the day, for the second Sunday in Advent, because we're talking about cleansing, we're talking about purifying, bathing, if you will, not our bodies, but our souls. And of course, God is the one who does this for us, not with baby shampoo, but he uses his word. He uses his promises. He bathes us in mercy, even though sometimes we resist him. Now, earlier when we prayed the collect of the day together, I don't know if you've noticed all these Advent collects, they start up with, stir up your power, stir up our hearts. I really like that this time of the year. Stir up our hearts. We're asking God to stir up our hearts for purity. It actually says there in the collect that, our hearts, that our minds would be pure. And so when we do that, when we pray for purity like that, you know, we're acknowledging that purity is a really good thing. It's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. We want purity in the world, right? We want our lives to be more and more pure each and every day we're on this planet. We want the things that we say and the things that we do to be more and more like the words and actions of Christ and less like the actions and the words of this dirty, filthy world that we happen to live in. I think that's pretty obvious. I think that we would all agree that this is a good thing. And, you know, you kind of talk about purity and you hear about purity and you kind of nod along. You say, yes, this is good. This is what we want in the world. But then when you think about the how of purity, the steps that it takes to become pure, that's where it starts to get a little bit difficult. That's where it starts to maybe get a little bit dicey. It makes us feel like maybe we are kind of like toddlers squirming around in a slippery bathtub, trying to kind of get away from our Creator. When someone or something is impure or dirty, the process of becoming clean isn't always easy. Typically, the dirtier something is, the harder it is to clean it, or the more effort is required to clean it. Right? So going along with the bath thing, you know, if the kids have been out playing in the dirt or in the mud, then bath night's going to go a little bit differently, right? It's going to take a lot longer. It's going to require a lot more scrubbing, a lot more paying attention to detail. And other things, too. Like if you're in the kitchen and you're preparing this big, elaborate meal and you happen to have to use a lot of dishes to prepare the meal, and maybe some of those dishes aren't dishwasher safe, right? And so now you've got to put in that elbow grease in order to get everything clean again. If you take your vehicle off-roading, or you just drive on some of these dirt roads out here, you know, it's going to take more than just that $5 automatic car wash to get everything clean again. You're going to have to go with the old-fashioned brush and bucket and everything like that. So we understand this. Getting clean is hard work, and God, of course, is no stranger to hard work. And that's why I really like this Old Testament reading today, because these words of the prophet Malachi in chapter 3 really kind of talk about this, the hard work of being purified as Christians. And Mr. Denning did a great job talking to the kids about this, because Malachi uses these images of the refiner's fire and the fuller's soap. And, you know, in case you didn't hear what he was saying, the refiner's fire, of course, is the way that precious metals become pure, right? So all of this requires a lot of really, like, high temperature. The metal's got to be molten. You know, you've got the dross, which comes to the top, has to be skimmed off. And it's just a lot of work. It's a fascinating process. If you've ever seen it before, you can go ahead and check that out, maybe on YouTube or something. There's some really cool videos of refining precious metal. But the point is, if you think about us as being the ones who need the refining and the hard work it takes to be refined, all that heat, all that scorching heat process, boy, that doesn't sound very great, at least not from our sinful perspective. And the fuller soap is really no better because as we heard, you know, you've got the wool, which needs to be purified, and there's a lot of pounding that goes on when you're purifying wool and you're taking that fuller soap and you're getting rid of all of the impurities in the cloth. and all of this that goes into it. It has to be laid out in the sun and bleached, and it's just this really intricate process. It's a lot of hard work. And again, when you're talking about us, when you're talking about people being purified by God, and he uses these images, refiner's fire, fuller's soap, I don't know about you, but I'm not really looking forward to being fired up into a molten state or being pounded and beaten with soap over and over again, right? And of course, we have a very similar theme in the gospel reading too from Luke chapter 3. You've got John the Baptist, and he's out in the wilderness, and he is giving people baths, right? Like, that's what John the Baptist is doing out in the Jordan River. He's giving people baths. He's purifying them. Not with baby shampoo either, right? John the Baptist is out there using the very difficult process of repentance for sins. And we know that repentance is not an easy process. There were a lot of difficult moments for John the Baptist out there by the Jordan. I mean, you can actually sense it in his voice in this reading. He calls these people who come to be baptized by him, he calls them a brood of vipers. Right? Like, I've been frustrated giving baths before, but I've never called my kids a brood of vipers, right? But this is what John does. And then he goes on and he says, you know, anybody who has two tunics should give one to those who don't have any. And he tells the tax collectors to stop being dishonest in the way they collect the taxes. And he tells the soldiers not to use their power to extort people, right? He goes through all these things. But John is not the Christ. He makes that very clear. John is the forerunner of Christ. So he's not the one out there doing all of the work of cleansing and purifying all by himself. He's pointing these people forward to Jesus, to the one who would come and do the most difficult work imaginable in order to purify the human race. So all these people going out to John, being baptized with water for repentance, this is a great first step, but John is going to point them forward to the one who had come and baptized with something even stronger than fuller's soap. This is the one, Jesus Christ, who had baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. How does this all happen? How is it even possible? Well, we give thanks to God that he looked down upon this world. He saw how dirty it was. He saw how difficult it would be to cleanse and purify. That us human beings, we would respond by resisting him, that we would shed many tears, that we would maybe try to wrestle ourselves away from him like a toddler in a bathtub. And yet that didn't stop God from doing what was necessary. It didn't stop God from sending Jesus into this world to take care of it. And by take care of it, I mean that Jesus actually himself went through all of the difficult work of being cleansed and purified, not because he needed to be, but because we needed to be. He's the one who actually felt the refiner's fire. He felt the scorching heat when he was mocked and ridiculed by the very people that he had created. He felt the beating and the pummeling of the fuller's soap when he was flogged, when a crown of thorns was placed upon his head, when he was eventually crucified on a cross. But that's not the end of the story either, because God stirred up his power of purity in this world also when he raised Jesus from the dead, and when he graciously gave us faith to believe in Jesus and to believe in all of his promises. And so we know that all of the hard work has already been accomplished, and that means that we have absolutely nothing to fear as we look forward to the day of Christ's return, the day when every single spot, every single wrinkle and blemish, every little speck of dirt will be wiped away from this earth forever. We continue to wait in hope for that day when God is going to stir up his power of purity again, when he's going to give us perfect bodies and place us within his perfect kingdom forever and ever, a place where there will be no more pain, there will be no more fear. A place where we will shine brighter than the shiniest gold, and we will wear robes that are brighter than the whitest bleach. A place of pure and complete, utter purity, where the refiner's fire and the fuller's soap just feels like baby shampoo. No more tears. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.